Edition of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And that's the sound of your Monday officially underway on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. A loaded show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thomas Wisegram, Brown County Speedway racer, he'll be joining us here quarter past the hour. We'll talk some Northern State football with defensive backs coach, Jason Glasgow. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. But, of course, we begin today with the severe weather. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure, and I think you would echo my sentiments that our hearts are going out to the folks out in the Highmore area. They really got quite a storm this morning.
Yeah, they did. 131 miles an hour with the wind gust, tornado. Just saw a couple things circulating through social media and Facebook. They got hit hard. So just really thinking about that community. I mean, multiple tornadoes, Pierpont area, Andover area as well. You know, it started to get towards Marshall County and Roberts County, where me and you started. So just thinking about all those communities out there. I'll tell you what, I said it on my morning show after things kind of slowed down a little bit. I've been here in South Dakota 5 years. I've lived through blizzards. I've lived through thunderstorms. I know what it's all about, but just kind of never been really a part of something like this, just with how rapid it was moving. It was moving so fast. It'd be in one area, then it would be in the next. And I'm on the air trying to keep up with all this stuff. And next thing you know, I'd update it, something new from a different community. I'm like going online, looking up different community. It was, I mean, we lived through it. It was pretty wild. That's all I got to say. I've been, like I said, you know, in radio, 5 years. I don't know if I've experienced something quite like that.
It was wild. I will say, I think it was my first year out in Sisseton. There was some pretty bad storms up there. And for lack of a better term, you're these communities' lifeline. You know, your parents, you know, your parents live a long ways away.
Yep.
My parents live a long ways away. And they're like, I'm sending my son off to some area of the country. I have no idea what's going on out there. And then they get an alert on their phone. Oh, the area that where they're at, they're experiencing some hard weather. And, you know, we've been there, now we've done that, and so our hearts are with these communities and what have you. We feel for you, and we're praying for you, and just some of the video that I've seen from that Highmore area, really, really, really unfortunate. But, yeah, I've been here in South Dakota now for over a decade, and I think this was probably a very close second. I think that first one was when I was up in Sisseton. But
sure.
It's just one of those scenarios where radio is always with you. You know, we're here, and let's be honest, we were still a little bit scared here, but maybe we didn't show it on the air. I hope we didn't portray that we were scared. My mom was actually listening in, and she goes, oh, you sounded very calm. I said, oh, thank God, because I was a little bit nervous there.
I'll tell you what, I think during my couple breaks in the 7 o'clock hour, you could, if you were listening closely enough, you could probably sense a little nervousness about me.
Sure.
But I started to settle down a little bit. I mean, I was telling you before we got on the air here, you know, I went out and I sent a video to my parents, and it was just lightning, thunder. It wasn't really going on. I look outside, walk up front a couple minutes later, and it's dang near pitch black. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go. So just a wild, wild morning. Something that I didn't expect. I'll tell you what, that was something.
I did not see that one coming at all either. And they were saying that there's a chance for some scattered showers and thunderstorms. And then I log on to Facebook and I see people are live streaming this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, guess what? We're going to be the news here this morning rather than the sports guys. But, I mean, we're going to back to the sports guys now, but our well wishes are out to everybody in the Highmore Herald area, Miller area, all across northeastern South Dakota. Our hearts are with you, and I hope that those communities in particular can recuperate quickly. And we're going to do everything we can to take your mind off of some of the bad weather from the morning here to the best of our ability on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So he's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Monday. And, you know, social media is a funny thing. And I went on to Twitter this morning, or X, and, of course, there's the for you, and then there's the following.
Yeah.
It just kind of defaults for me to for you.
Same.
Sometimes
I hate it.
You know, sometimes I like it, sometimes I hate it. More often than not, I'm kind of like, well, I don't really care. I don't even follow this person. What does this mean, for you? But this morning, and this could only happen during the World Cup, I log on this morning, and it's a tweet from yesterday. No context, no nothing, just, quote, what a goal by Uzbekistan. And I thought to myself,
in the World Cup?
Yeah. This is the only time in the world where this quote could be, or this tweet could be something that actually people care about. But what a goal by Uzbekistan. I was just like, that's, A, it's 24 hours old. Why is that at the top of my feed? For some guy I never even interact with on Twitter, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, yay, yay. Must be World Cup territory.
Well, also, you know, what's the deal with that? We're seeing that a lot. We've been having some fun exchange over text, just like, we'll see a tweet, and then there won't be a hashtag, and it's just like, oh, what a goal, or what a loss.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Or how did that happen? And you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, about what? I don't know. I've been seeing it more and more. I don't know if it's World Cup time. I mean, NBA free agency's going on. Oh, what a move. Move for what? I mean, can we get a little context here? There's a thing called hashtags, people. Use them. Please.
It drives me nuts. I mean, this has got to be one of my biggest pet peeves. No two ways about it. And there's just zero context behind it. And I'm like, did a family member pass away? Did you eat some bad cheese? Did you get pulled over on I-29? Flat tire somewhere? I mean, what happened?
What a move! I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, give me a little hashtag. Give me a little context, because I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. It's something I've been seeing more. You've noticed it long before me, but I've been noticing it more on my For You page.
Yeah.
More and more, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Please. It's starting to bother me, Tukes. It is. It is. It didn't bother me much, but as I'm seeing it more this summer, I'm getting a little bit bothered by it.
Did you eat a black bean burrito and wash it down with some coffee? Oh, no. Like, okay, someone's going to the bathroom. I don't know, but it just drives me crazy. Well, that's a little levity for you. Some sad news coming out of the National Football League. I don't know if you saw this or not. This just came out an hour ago.
Yep.
Chris Johnson, great running back for the Tennessee Titans from about a decade or so ago, announced at the age of 39 he has Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And I got to tell you, I saw this firsthand with my grandfather. He passed away from ALS back in 2006, 20 years ago. And it's just an awful, awful disease. And, you know, there's always this push for, you know, cancer research, and we got to raise money for cancer, and I've got respect for that. Don't get me wrong, but ALS, man, that's what I have personally seen. And can we get a cure for ALS, please? It's just an awful, awful disease, and it's just heartbreaking news out of Chris Johnson there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it when I saw that, age of 39, as you mentioned. Now, one of the premier running backs in the mid to late 2000s. I mean, you remember the days of CJ2K?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just must-watch. You talk about guys that were must-watch television on Sunday. He was one of those guys for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, going through high school when I was playing, you know, there was that ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Right.
So all our teammates used to do that. And we would nominate people. So, like you said, just a really tough one for the news of the NFL for one of the great running backs. You know, borderline Hall of Famer, probably not going to get in, but one of the all-time greats when you talk about an era. He was certainly on top of that list for a little bit.
And maybe you could make a case, maybe the best running back in Titans history. Probably him, Eddie George.
Yeah, those two.
Some of those guys at the top of the list.
Henry.
Yep, Travis Henry, no doubt. Or King Henry, rather. But also I saw this on social media. Max Kepler, of course, former Minnesota Twin. He had an 80-game suspension because of performance-enhancing drugs. And you know where I'm going with this one. He hit a long fly ball to the warning track in center field. And the play-by-play guy for the Tampa Bay Rays goes, well, 80 games ago, that's probably a home run. And I just thought to myself, wow. It's probably true.
I can't believe he said it.
I can't believe he said it.
I saw that, and I thought it was funny. I just can't believe he actually said that. I mean, he hit the ball hard. It was just a hair short of a home run. So, I mean, it makes sense why he said it. I just personally got a chuckle out of it. And I was like, if I was in his position, would I say that?
No, I probably
wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. But hey, I mean, I guess on that one, man. Whatever floats your boat, I guess.
In the off season, I do a fair amount of reading, broadcasting books, this sort of thing. When this situation happens, you probably shouldn't say this. And, you know, don't lean into this too much. And it's things I try to work on, certainly. Some things to a fault. But that's definitely one of them. Like, yeah, probably tap the brakes on that one.
Yes.
And stay away from it. Before we bring in Thomas Wisegram here in just a second, final one. I saw this as well on X. Cubs, Brewers, top six. Cubs are down 2-1 with a runner on second. Alex Bregman hits a, not quite a line drive, but kind of a ground ball to the shortstop. He bobbles it, throws to first, gets Bregman out. Okay. See it all the time. Happens 100 times on a random Sunday in baseball. Bregman doesn't run out of the box. And I quote tweeted this and I said, it's really a tough ask for the guy being paid millions of dollars. You ask him to hustle all the time. But come on, man. You're down by a run. And if you just run, if you just sprint, if you just, you know, hustle, you're probably safe. And it's a good thing the Cubs won the game, because if they lose the game, I mean, you're talking about runners on the corners here with one out, and you're down by one run. Now, it's just, it's one of those scenarios where we see it all the time. Just hustle, 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 hustle. It's such a lost art on the pro side of things.
Well, I'll tell you what, you think a guy in Alex Bregman who's hitting a career low, 239, would hustle out of the batter's box. He hasn't had a great year with the Cubs. And you're seeing it more and more. We've literally talked about this before. We saw it in the Twins game, I think
Correa.
It was a year or 2 years ago with Carlos Correa. But you'd think a guy, and Alex Bregman, who's hitting 239, which is a well below career low. I mean, before that, I mean, the lowest he's had is 245. So, I mean, he's not having a good year. Run out of the box. You know, those little things can really change for a batter. Like, if you're struggling, that's why Pete Rose is so, you know, obviously the gambling stuff aside.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's, like, the best hitter ever.
Charlie Hustle.
Yes. Because he would run out everything. I mean, he would go balls to the wall every single time. I mean, and my dad tells me stories all the time about Pete Rose. Like, there's no one even going to be on his level in hitting because of stuff like that. And you're starting to see it more and more. I guess it's because these guys get paid a zillion dollars. They think they're entitled to not run down the first base. But Alex Bregman, let's go, man. I mean, you're not having a big year. You're not hitting 300. I mean, come on, dude. You're hitting 239. Run out of the box.
I'll do you one better. Our era, Ichiro. Ichiro. He legged out everything.
Yep.
First time I ever saw him play on Fox, it was the Indians versus the Mariners. And he gets just this lazy ground ball to the third baseman. I'm like, that's an easy out. Next thing you know, he's across first base and he's safe. Why? Because he hustled.
Yep.
It's amazing what hustling can do for you. Not just baseball, but any sport.
Exactly right. And Ichiro is another really good example. He was that slap hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, much like Pete Rose, just slapping it down the third base side, left field, and, you know, trying to beat out balls. That's how you get, I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, 3,000 hits is obviously the number, but, like, a lot of these guys that get 3,000 hits or have had 3,000 hits, they do stuff like that. They beat out infield hits. So the Cubs, I don't know. Like, I liked them at the start of the year, but they've kind of been a roller coaster here, more down than up here as of late. And they got a tough division to deal with. They're going to be close to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to make it.
They did take 2 out of 3 against the Brewers, which is good news. But to your point, they've been Cedar Point, to be sure, this spring. Coming up next on the show, we're talking racing. Thomas Weisgram joins us. Sports Up continues on a Monday on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this, the final Monday of the month of June. July 1st, of course, is coming up here midweek. Hard to believe that the 4th of July is just around the corner. All right, let's jettison out to Brown County Speedway territory, talk some racing. Thomas Weisgram taking some time out of his schedule to join us. Thomas, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are things with you?
Great, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, it's our pleasure for sure. Now, I heard that you drive a truck down there in the Northville area. How's that area right now? Because up here in Aberdeen, we got a lot of wind this morning, but not a whole lot in terms of tornadic activity or anything like that. But how was the weather down there by your neck of the woods this morning?
I think it was mostly okay. It was really windy. Got a lot of rain. Little bits of pea hail, but that was about it. So,
all right, good news.
Yeah, and we want to get into some of the things that you've done here this year. You're coming off a nice performance, and you know, I guess how to kind of start. How's this season been going for you? And you know, has something really clicked with your racing and things of that here this summer?
I would say, you know, we've been off to a pretty good start. I feel like we've definitely been a little frustrated with some of our performances, but you know, for the most part, we've been running really well. Like in Watertown, we've been running well. And then Aberdeen, I would say we kind of got off to a more of a rougher start. Just, you know, maybe things not quite going our way with the draw and the redraw, or just not heat racing well to get ourselves in good position. But, you know, we just won here last time we raced in Aberdeen, and it was just a really good confidence boost for us.
Driving the number 16 there in the late models, and I'm curious, what's that feeling like when you enter victory lane and you get out of the car and the whole crowd's going crazy? I mean, you put so much time and effort into everything that goes along with racing and the car and everything. What's that feeling like of just being in victory lane after an incredible race?
It's usually just relief. I mean, you know, you work so hard and there's so many things that can go wrong to put you out of position. It's kind of just a relief. Like, I did my job, you know. We've been doing some new things with the race car, and we feel like we've definitely picked up a little bit of speed. We've, you know, some different things that are working well, and you know, to go out there and just put a whole night together, it definitely is very a rewarding feeling.
Now, I'm just curious. You know, you mentioned, you know, stay in position. Now, how do you stay in position so when, you know, the end of the race comes, you can make a run for it, if you will? I know, obviously, you can't control all of that, but I feel like that's the goal when you go out there, right, is just kind of stay in position, stay in the race, and then, you know, at the end, you go make a run for it.
Yeah, definitely. Aberdeen's been really tough because Aberdeen's been really racy, so there's multiple lines that are fast. So the other problem with Aberdeen is we get into lap traffic. I think, you know, it's about 4 to 5 laps it's been taking us to get into lap traffic, and that really changes how the race goes too. So you just don't really know. Like, you're kind of a sitting duck out front. You know, you're trying to watch signals that, you know, like your crew is giving you, you know, try to get ideas where other guys are running, maybe how much of a lead you have or what's going on. And it's really tough, because the racetrack is changing every lap too. You know, one lap it might be faster on the top, and the next lap, you know, it might be some guys working the bottom in, and then the bottom gets faster, and you might be a sitting duck up top and get passed. You know, it's tough.
Thomas Weisgram is our guest here on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can catch him there on Facebook at Thomas Weisgram Racing. How did you get into it? It's my understanding that your dad raced back in the day. Was it just always a family affair for you, and you saw him do it on Friday nights, and you said, hey, this is something that I'd like to do when I get older?
Yeah, that's kind of how it went, yep. I got into go-karts when I was young and raced go-karts for quite a while just here locally, and then it was kind of the point where we needed to take it either to the next level with the go-kart stuff and race more regionally. or we were going to get into a big car. And it just kind of happened that, you know, my dad obviously races late models, and it made sense that I started in a late model just with the amount of parts and equipment that we had around. So, you know, we put together a late model and started racing that, and just been doing that since.
Do you feel like you see that a lot? You know, you talk about your story, you know, when you talk to other racers around, do you feel like it's kind of a similar thing, like a family member, you know, was racing and then, you know, it got passed down to you, and I'm sure, you know, maybe, you know, it, you know, your kids and things of that. I feel like that's a something that happens a good bit with racing, especially around here. Is that fair to say or not so much?
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely a generational sport. I mean, I think once it gets in your blood and you get hooked, it's really hard to walk away from it.
Why the number 16? I've always been curious about these numbers for some of these racers and what have you. I mean, I'd go with my lucky numbers out there. I'm not going to say what those numbers are here on these airwaves, but why the number 16 for you?
I mean, well, to be honest, my dad's 32 and half of 32 is 16.
All right.
Have you always been 16, or is that kind of where how you got started with that? Is it was that?
Yeah, just
okay.
Yeah, that was apparently back in the day when I was a little kid. That's I thought that'd be pretty cool. So I don't know. Just I like the number. I mean, it's I think nobody really has a super awesome story about their number, but I think everybody has a sentimental value to what they have on the side of their car. So.
Nice even number, divisible by multiple numbers, divisible by two,
yeah.
Divisible by four.
Yeah.
Divisible.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe my kids they'll continue that, and it'll be 8, 4, and 2. So
yeah, there you go. I think that's the first time I've ever said divisible on the Sports Hub ever. So well, that's my math kicking in. My Marquette math is still not failing me. Thomas Wisegram here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So you mentioned that you got into the late model side of things. Ever any thought for you to maybe move up or maybe move down into a certain different category? Is it always going to be late models for you?
I don't know. Late models, just to me, there's nothing cooler. The only way for us to really move up would be to go race probably more regionally, or race with like more of an open car with more horsepower. But I really like what we're doing right now. The modified class definitely interests me, but I just don't really see it feasible, I guess, with the current resources that I have as far as time. You know, it's hard enough for us to get one car with everything we've got going on, to get one car ready into the racetrack. I couldn't imagine having two.
Well, so you could maybe already answered this here, but why the late models? I know you said it's, you know, pretty cool and those kinds of things. Was there something that really drew you to it? Is it just something you kind of found your way into?
Yeah, probably more just found my way into it, but I mean, I just, in my eyes, I mean, I think that, you know, the sport of dirt racing, I mean, your top cars are late models and sprint cars, and I mean, there's really not many other cars that probably interest me as much as late models do.
So you're sticking with late models, but what do you make of this new Legends class? Mm. I mean, this has been something that we've been talking about here a little bit over the last month and a half or so, this new class. What do you make of it?
I think it's a really good entry-level class. You know, jury's still out to see. You know, I was hoping that we would see a little more support with it. I know in the past, like last year when they had them popping in and out, they actually raced really well. I thought that they put on some really good races. I don't always get to watch them, so I don't really have a whole lot of input there, but, you know, I think it's a great opportunity. I think the Legend class and the B-Mod class are probably what I would consider the ideal entry-level class.
Do you feel like you race better at a certain track? You know, whether that's, you know, Aberdeen, Watertown, whatever it may be, do you feel like, hey, drive onto this track. I was going to say when you step onto the track. When I drive onto this track, you know, I know what to expect here.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Aberdeen, obviously being my home track, I have the most amount of laps in Aberdeen. So I'm generally pretty comfortable, but we're always nervous, you know. You never know what's going to happen, and you just got to go out there and take each night for what it is. But I would say I have the most confidence probably rolling into Aberdeen. We have traveled and I felt like raced very well at other tracks too. But, you know, we just do you know, we travel as much as our schedule kind of allows us. But primarily this year, we've really only raced Aberdeen, Huron, and Watertown.
A couple more with our guest here, Thomas Wisegram on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. If you're watching on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, would encourage you to hit that like button and share the stream there as well. Now, I'm curious about Victory Lane the first time, because everybody remembers the first time they pick up their first win. What was that like for you? Was it also relief back in the day, or was it more jubilation, excitement? What do you do for that first victory when you cross that finish line?
I tell you, it was the first one. I mean, everybody probably has stories about their first one for sure. I don't think I could have wrote a story any better. I mean, it was like I passed Ken Arment to win it. I mean, it was really cool to pass. I mean, basically, he's a legend around here. He's solidified himself as going to go into the history books. You know, I mean, it's what he's accomplished is crazy. And then to go out there and to win your first race by beating him was really cool. I have a lot of respect for Ken, and it was a really proud moment to be able to get it like that. You know. Definitely a really rewarding feeling no matter what, and to get to share it with your family and your crew is very special.
I got to ask, we were talking to Rusty prepping for this interview, and he mentioned that your wife has a pretty big TikTok following. I'm looking here, almost 20.6K followers there on TikTok. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she has a lot of fun with it. I'm glad that she is having fun with that, and just adds another element to what we get to do with the racing, and she enjoys sharing, you know, what we do, and it's her deal. I mean, I support her in it 100%, but I'm really glad that she's having fun with that.
I was kind of going through. You're not in many videos. What's up with that? No, I'm just joking.
I mean, you could be.
Yeah, no, like I said, that's her deal. I mean, I'm a little camera shy, so.
Well, to me, it sounds like a great opportunity for her to ride shotgun on race night, and maybe she could take some video there from your co-pilot spot there. Maybe probably not, but you don't want a backseat driver, you know. Oh, you're supposed to turn. Oh my gosh, you got to put that on social. All right, well, Thomas, thanks
she's
again.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say she's very passionate. I mean, it's been really fun. Like, we've been racing together for, I think 8 years now, and. It's just like she knows a lot about racing, and she's always learning, and it's been really fun to do it together with her. And we've both been getting, you know, better, and both, she definitely pushes me, it's just great to have somebody behind you that fully supports it and wants to be involved and wants to go racing, and very, very lucky that way.
Family affair. Very cool. Well, congratulations already on a successful year. I know there's probably a lot of sponsors you want to thank. I know we got to get out of here, but I want to give you the final word to maybe give some of your sponsors perhaps a shout out if you'd like to.
Yeah, well, I'll try to make it quick here. I do have a pretty long list, but WiseTech HD Diesel, Teeley Family Farm, Insurance Plus, Engel Brothers Trucking, Peterson Seeds, T&G Bowl, Checkered Out Boutique, Boomsma Harvesting, Nutrien Ag Solutions, Bar Spray Foam, Smith Harvesting and Repair, Jerry's Landscaping and Lawn Care, Haven and Sons Harvesting, Sitter Excavating, Plains Commerce Bank, Chelsea Senex, Binger's Custom Processing, Rorco, Urbandale Lane, DA Lubricants, Triple J Ranch, 4-Bar Transport, Sniper Wrestling Academy, Andrew and Ashlyn Auto, LaForge, Lechner Family, Brenda Bone, Sludges, Seed and Spraying, and M-Ray Photography.
Man, it looks like you need to get more sponsors. You don't have any sponsors. Holy cow. Thanks again for doing this. Congratulations, and thanks again for being a part of the program. You're the best.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. That's Thomas Wisegram here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Just goes to show you how much goes into this and how many people are, you know, a part of that. So really good stuff there from him.
Yeah. Also, the TikTok Dirt Track Girl there on TikTok for those who are listening or wondering, oh, what's her TikTok? 20.6K followers.
It's a lot.
That's 20.6K more than I have. I don't have a TikTok. Coming up next on the show, always a great time to talk Northern State football. Jason Glasgow, defensive backs coach, he'll join us after this. Rocking and rolling for a Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Thomas Wisegram, taking some time out of his schedule to join us on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined by defensive backs coach Jason Glasgow, taking some time out of his Monday. Good morning, sir. How are things with you?
Things are good. Staying busy. Like we were just talking about, got done with camp season. So got a little bit of summer that we have here to spend with some family and things like that. But there's still going to be kids visiting campus and all that kind of stuff. So we're always busy.
Absolutely. Looks like you're hitting the weight room there a little bit. Jeez, you're getting bigger and bigger.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. No.
Not at all. Actually, I'm actually slacking quite a bit right now. So I don't know.
You're getting ready to bust out of that shirt, man. Jeez.
I noticed too, man.
I was going to say, looks like you'd lace him up and go out there and play.
Yeah. No, I'll leave that to Coach Price. He's the one that kind of is the ringleader of the weight room right now. So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about camp season. You guys have been busy with that.
Yep. So we've just been traveling kind of all over, you know, in the tri-state area, really, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota. We did have our offensive staff went down to the SMU camp down in Texas. So we've been kind of all over, hitting the road, a lot of miles, like you guys are saying, a lot of gas that we were putting in vehicles, but you just have the opportunity to see a lot of kids. The recruiting scope has kind of changed quite a bit. You know, I always tell parents, I say, I went to one camp and then I committed. I didn't go to 10 camps in the summer and spend all that money, but it's kind of what you have to do now these days to be seen and get in front of coaches, because there's so many mega camps and things like that just give you that exposure as a kid. And there's times where I'll recommend, if you want to be seen by a bunch of coaches, you should go to a mega camp as opposed to going to individual camps. And then once you figure out what schools you're interested in and which schools are interested in you, then you go to those schools and go to those camps and kind of treat those things like a visit. So it's been good. We just had our camps that ended this last week, our 9-man camp, which was our first one, and it went pretty well. We had 6 teams and saw a lot of kids compete and get better. That's more of a developmental camp in a sense. Then we had our prospect camp this last Saturday, where we had over 100 kids, and we were able to see some high profile kids that have offers from different places around the area, and they came to check us out. So you know, it's all about getting Northern State and on the map and getting guys up here to see what we have to offer, because usually that is the selling point. Once we get them there, then they're interested, they're hooked. So
you mentioned it, you only went to one camp and then you committed. When did you think you saw the shift of like these multiple camps? That's part one. And part two, what's a mega camp?
So I think the shift happened probably around the 16 to 18. You know, that's when I know that's when I started hearing about the Lindenwood Mega Camp. So a mega camp are camps that have multiple sessions throughout the day. And the Lindenwood camp will have 1,600 kids in 24 hours that come to that camp. And they have probably 40 colleges that will come there to see kids. And it's kind of the same with the SMSU or SMU camp down in Texas. That's why we sent our offensive staff down there. But they had over 2,000 kids in around that same amount of time. So it's a place where kids can get seen by a lot of different coaches of different levels and get some exposure that way.
Jason Glasgow joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, secondary coach for the Wolves. When you're out camping, you know, with your marshmallows and everything else like that, you got the tent. What are you watching for these student athletes? What are you looking for?
You know, you want to see the guys who step to the front of the line and are coachable. You know, the guys that are eager to go out and compete and get seen and things like that. It's really tough to recruit a kid who's sitting in the back of the line. You know, the guy whose parents maybe made him go to that camp and they're not really looking to get better or improve and things like that. And it's also really good to see guys from their first rep to their last rep take the coaching and improve. You know, a really good camp to see that stuff is the North Dakota State camp, because that's multiple days of us seeing those kids, and we actually run drills and coach them at those camps. And so you get to see, like I said before, how coachable they are. Do they take in that information? Are they willing to learn? And then there's just a lot of competition there with different one-on-one drills in both run game, pass game, and there's the bigs that are on one field and they're at a different time doing their different drills and competition. So you get to evaluate a lot of things at those camps, especially if they're run really well. So,
do you see a lot of high school upperclassmen at these camps? Do you see a mix of, you know, freshmen and sophomores? How do you, or like freshmen and sophomore in high school? Yep. Do you see a kind of a mix of everybody, or what do you
think? Yeah, it's a mix of everybody. Now, if you go to the larger schools, so when I was at the Gophers camp, they're pretty much done with their class. So you're seeing more underclassmen at those camps that they're trying to evaluate and get eyes on. And then there's those other guys that are there that are trying to maybe earn a walk-on spot or something like that. The SDSU camps, the USD camps, those are going to be probably more heavy towards incoming seniors and juniors probably. But when you get to those camps that are 1,200 to 2,000 kids, you're getting every single class of kid that's going to go to those camps. So I would say our camp, our individual camp, was probably 90%, you know, 2027 grads and 2028 grads.
So let's talk about the Wolves here and you guys specifically in the back end. I think I look at your secondary on paper and I'm like, okay, that guy's a dude. That guy can play. This guy's going to be an all-conference player, these sorts of things. I know we're still about, I think, 59 days away from kickoff, but who's counting? What's the secondary look like on paper for you guys? I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, so we obviously returned some all-conference players. You have Keegan Mountain, who was an all-conference player two seasons ago, led our conference in interceptions that year. Really lucky to get him back. You know, he had the opportunity to leave and he came back, and so that's a huge thing for us. And then Elijah Jopp, you know, he's a kid who came here as a linebacker and has really grown into being a safety and a leader on our defense. And so we're really excited to get those two back. And then you have, you know, some guys who come back with some experience, right? You have Andrew Ewald, who was kind of put into a position to play quite a bit last year and made some big plays for us in games, and that was huge. And then, you know, we have some guys that you may not know. You know, Darion Nunley is a player who transferred to us last year from a D3 school, Hope College. He was a two-time all-conference corner for us, or for them, sorry, and wasn't able to play last season. But if you were at our practices and watched him go against our offense, he treated every single practice like a game. He was making a ton of plays and had a great spring, and he's a guy who's going to elevate and bring some consistency and some different things to the table that we're excited to see. And then we do have two other transfer cornerbacks that we brought in. We had a gap between our upperclassmen and starters, and then we have a lot of redshirt freshmen and guys that are incoming. So we kind of had to fill that gap with some guys with some experience. So we do have two transfers, Jaden Martin, who's a transfer from Weber State, where he was a walk-on there, but played at a high level and has some really good film that we liked. And then Josh Brown, who played quite a bit at Saginaw Valley last year, probably was a very viable three option for him that played probably 40 snaps a game. And so definitely bringing some experience that we like there. And then at the safety position, you know, there's one spot open for grabs. You know, you have to have guys that can compete at that position. So we did bring in two safeties at semester. And then we are obviously mixing that with Drew and seeing who's going to emerge there. And, you know, Drew had a good spring and we're excited to see how he's able to continue to grow. But, you know, when you're in the secondary, you know, you look at last year, it was our first year that we've kind of regressed in pass defense. We've improved every single year since I've been here. And then last year, there's kind of two outliers. You have the Mary game where they were down by 45 points right away, and they had two quarterbacks on the field all the time. And then you had, you know, the buzzsaw of Morehead State, and we were really banged up in the secondary and linebackers that game, where those were the two games that were kind of the outliers for us last year. But, you know, with all the injuries, you got to have the depth. And some of that is, you know, on us. You know, I got to be able to get those guys ready to go. And then we also have to have those bodies that are ready to play in those situations as well.
Well, I'm glad you brought up depth, because that's where I was going, depth there at the secondary position. Mm-hmm. I feel like, am I fair to say that in football, you know, having depth that in your secondary is, you know, maybe the most important on the defense, or am I off on that, or
you,
no?
You could say that about every position. You know, I would say that it's, if you're looking more specific, it's corner. You know, it's tough to find corners that can play at a high level for a sustained amount of time. But if I was going to put it on a position, it probably would be the defensive line. You need a lot of depth there. And you know, we were obviously playing pretty deep into our defensive line last year and things like that. So I would say depth in Division II football is very hard to find, you know. And the great teams have it. And the teams that are kind of on the cusp, you know, are the teams that can be affected by some injuries a little bit more. But, you know, for us, it's our job to get guys in here that can compete and play at a high level so we're not dropping off if we do have those injuries.
You mentioned Elijah Jopp moving from linebacker to safety. Do you see that a lot? Just, you know, linebackers maybe moving to secondary, not so much? Or?
I would say probably on our team a little bit more just because we have an athletic profile that we look for with our linebackers. And you look over the years, we've had some pretty athletic linebackers. You can go all the way back to when I first got here, and you have the two transfers from the Miami, Ohio, and Wyoming of the world. And then you have Gunderson and those types of guys, and they're super athletic guys, you know. And so
Gunderson was returning kicks.
Exactly. And so it's an easier transition. You usually see guys transfer from defensive back down more often than not. But, you know, we just have an athletic profile that we look for and that we recruit at that position. And even to this day, we're bringing in linebackers that are just as athletic as our DBs that we're bringing in. So
final one here with Jason Glasgow on Fox Sports Aberdeen. What's the ceiling of this secondary? What's the ceiling of this defense? Because I feel like on paper, again, it looks very, very good. You guys historically have had very good defenses, mm-hmm. with the exception, of course, of all the injuries last year and whatnot. But what do you think that looks like for you?
You know, it's one of those things where you never really know until you play. You know, you can have the expectations and potential, but it's really about how well everybody meshes together and gels together. And, you know, there's just a lot of unknowns in our conference right now. You look at the different faces that have changed, not only as players, but coordinators and all those different types of things. You know, what is Duluth going to look like? What is Moorhead going to look like? And so do we feel good about the product that we have and the guys that we have in our locker room? For sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about going out there and executing and making sure that our guys understand the most important thing is taking care of what is important right now. And we learned that two seasons ago when we started out 0-4. And then we found out last year when you have to go and win some of those games where maybe you're not the favorite, you know, or it's you maybe have some things that are going against you in those times. So it's really about focusing on day by day and not worrying about potential, because potential doesn't mean anything if you still have it. And so you have to make sure that we're exceeding that potential every single week in our preparation and playing games. So
I think you were probably checking your eligibility last year, weren't you?
Maybe. I don't, you know, I think I
was.
Would tell him, I think I could be an All-American for two plays. And then I'm done, and I'm probably injured. And I don't know if you've seen kind of those videos where it's, you know, someone makes a spectacular play and it's something along the lines of, you know how you're old and they make the play and then they look back and they're fading away and then their dead body is sitting on the ground. That's pretty much what it would be like for me. So.
Yeah, I don't even think I could even make it out there on the field. So you're light years ahead of us for sure. Well, thanks again for being a part of the program. Yeah. I know you're counting down to kickoff. We sure are as well. And good luck this fall.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Always great to be on here. And you guys do great work. And definitely appreciate it. So
we appreciate you. That's Jason Glasgow, defensive backs coach for your Wolves of NSU. We'll wrap up this Monday of the Hub after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Talking with Coach Glasgow here on FSA. Would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for all the action there from Friday night from Brown County Speedway, as well as the Minnesota Twins going for perhaps another opportunity for them to secure another series win. It starts this week, anyway, tonight against Houston at 7:10 on Fox Sports Aberdeen.